Today, I want to talk to you about preaching and teaching. And in the terminology I use today, I'm going to talk about preaching sermons. But really, what I have to say is going to apply just as much really to a Bible teaching or a Bible study you might lead. So I don't know if you preach to a congregation, if you teach a Sunday school class, if you lead a home group, if you teach God's word or preach it in any other kind of setting. I think it'll apply either way. What I want to talk to you about today is something that I think might be helpful for some of us. It's how to preach a boring sermon, or you could title it 20 ways to preach a boring sermon. And basically what I'm going to do is I'm just going to click through 20 different ways to really be an effective, boring preacher or teacher. Look, let's be honest. There's some of us, and you've maybe listened to a few people, we seem determined to be as boring as possible. Well, let me give you some ways that I think you can be boring as a preacher. And this, of course, comes from my own personal experience. Take that for whatever it's worth. Okay, so 20 ways to preach a boring sermon. Number one, don't prepare well. Don't master the biblical text. Well, sure, if you're going to be committed to boring preaching or teaching of the Bible, then by all means, just kind of speak from the hip. Don't prepare well. Don't come to a text being really familiar with the text. Don't study it in its context. Don't know it well enough to where you could paraphrase it or tell the story without looking at the Bible itself. Don't look for how it might connect to other passages of Scripture. Look, just shoot from the hip. You've done this before. And I think this number one principle will help you a lot if you're really committed to preaching boring sermons. Don't prepare well. You know how it is when you're well prepared. When you're really familiar with something, you can speak in an interesting way about the thing that you're familiar with, and it comes very easy. It's true for whatever people know. If people know fly fishing well, it doesn't take much just to get them talking about it, and they can speak in a very interesting way. Why? Because they really know fly fishing. Well, if you want to be able to speak well on Matthew chapter 5, you just learn it very well. But if you're committed to preaching a boring sermon, then by all means, don't prepare well and don't master the biblical text. Okay, that's number one. Here's number two. Don't use commentaries properly. Either ignore them or rely completely on them. You kind of get the difference, don't you? There is a proper way to use commentaries. Look, if you're going to be committed to boring preaching and teaching, then don't use commentaries in a proper way. You can ignore them. In other words, look, what do you need to know about what anybody else has taught on a passage? You don't need to listen to anybody else. You don't need to read anybody else. Just whatever comes to your mind, whatever your knowledge is of history, whatever your knowledge is of the original language, surely that's enough. And you're not interested in making your message interesting and speaking on it with a sense of authority and confidence. So ignore those Bible commentaries. Or there's another way that you can improperly use commentaries, and that is to rely completely on them. In other words, just let a commentary or a few commentaries do all your thinking for you. You don't have to dive deep into the text yourself. You don't have to take what you learn and then go to the commentaries to see, you know, what you might have missed or how things match up. I think if you are committed to preaching or teaching the Bible in a boring way, then please do not use commentaries properly. You got to either ignore them or rely on them completely. Okay, that's number two. Here's number three. Talk about everything that you have discovered about the text. Friends, this is a surefire way to make your Bible teaching or preaching boring. You know, you've studied a lot, haven't you? You've learned a lot about the text. Well, don't you think you owe it to your listeners, the people who hear you, to share with them every last scrap of information that you have discovered about the text? Don't think of prioritizing. Don't think about leaving some out. No, you need to talk about everything you've discovered about the text. no matter how esoteric it is, no matter how speculative it is, no matter how mundane it is, look, whatever you have discovered about the text, you got to share all of it. Don't be selective. Don't say, I've got a main point to get across, and this piece of information or this really good nugget about the text, this might be good, but it doesn't really help me in making the main point that I want to get across in the text, so I'm going to leave this to the side. No, don't do that. You need to talk about everything that you've discovered about the text. Again, a surefire way to put yourself on the track to preaching a really boring message. Okay, that's number three. Here's number four. Don't think about the message until the day before you preach. Look, like I said before, if you're committed to the idea of preaching or teaching the Bible in a boring way, then you don't want to give yourself time to sort of let to marinate in the text. You know what marinating is. You take meat and you put it in some kind of sauce or oil or rub or something, and you just kind of let it soak in over a few days or something like that. You don't want the text to soak into you. You don't want to give yourself time to just have some new thoughts or different perspectives come to you about the very text of Scripture. No, don't think about the message at all until shortly before you're going to preach, because marinating in the text might give you more time to meditate on it, might give you better understanding about it. And listen, that's the key to making your message interesting. But you're not interested in making your message interesting. You want to know how to make your message, your teaching, boring. So don't think about your message until the day you preach. The later, the better, because you don't want to give yourself time to let the text and the idea and the themes marinate within you. Look, I know some people, if they preach on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, they are at least really reading and starting to think about the text for next Sunday. No. Not if you want your message to be boring. Forget about that. You want to delay that as long as possible. Okay, that's number four. Here's number five for us. Be emotionally monotone through your sermon. Never get more focused or passionate about any particular thing. This idea about being emotionally monotone through your message, that's a big key to boredom. Because nobody will have any sense of rhythm or flow or priority in the message. They will have the idea that everything in your message is equally important, or again, if you want to preach a boring message, this is your real goal, to let everybody think that everything in your message is equally unimportant. Now, it doesn't matter if you keep a moderate emotional state throughout your sermon, or you keep a low, subdued emotional state, or you even have a high, excited emotional state. Doesn't matter. Just never moderate it. Keep it the same. And God forbid, again, if you want to be boring, don't get more focused or passionate about any particular thing. Keep it just at this monotone level, because if you start varying and becoming more focused or passionate about any particular point or aspect, especially of the biblical text, then people will get a sense of order and priority in your preaching. You don't want them to get a sense of order and priority. You want it just to come one big emotionally monotone lump that gets put right in front of them. Again, surefire way to make your preaching more and more boring. Let's talk about this. Number six, if you want to be a boring Bible preacher or teacher, then never experiment with different ways to prepare or use your notes. I think this is something that we don't often think about, but I think it's very important. If I'm trying to teach in a boring way, then when it comes to preparing and presenting my notes, or using my notes, maybe I should say, I just want to keep it the same all the time. I don't want to say, you know what, usually I write out my message and take that with me into the pulpit. Why don't I try just making an outline or less of a written out thing and see if that helps me be more spontaneous? Or the other way around, maybe if you're just using an outline, you think, well, maybe I should start writing it out. No, no, no. You want to do your notes, your preparation, the same all the time. If you have any kind of concern with being more interesting in your preaching, then you're going to say, hey, maybe I should experiment a little bit with how I prepare my notes, because maybe something else will aid me. Maybe you need to be more disciplined. Maybe you need to be more spontaneous. But again, that's if you were concerned with being more interesting. You're not watching or listening to this because you're interested in being more interesting. You want to be more boring. So never experiment with different ways to prepare or use your notes. Number seven, I think, is a good one. If you want to be or stay boring as a preaching or as a preacher or teacher, then use no holy imagination with the biblical text. Act as if it didn't really happen. Oh, friends, this is a good one and a big one. So there you are teaching about Jesus feeding the 5,000. The last thing you should do, if you're interested in being boring, don't talk about what it was like for the people out there in the field. Don't talk about how the fish might have tasted. Don't talk about how surprised the people were to be given a wonderful free lunch. Don't talk about how amazed the little boy were. No, no, no. Don't use any holy imagination with the text. Really teach the Bible as the record of things that didn't really happen. So I know it tells you things happened, but you don't have to actually think about what it was like when it did happen. There is something that will ruin your ability to bore other people with your preaching and teaching. And that is approaching the text and thinking through, especially when the Bible's giving a narrative, a story, letting it be like a movie that runs in your head. And you're actually just, with holy imagination, I know this can be exaggerated, but you just kind of say, okay, here's what it's like. Jesus is coming into Jericho. There's the blind man. He's screaming out. What did it sound like? What did it feel like? What would it be for the people around? Don't use any of that holy imagination if you're interested in being boring. Now, if you do have a concern for actually engaging and keeping your audience, well, then you want to go the holy imagination route. But again, treat the biblical text as telling stories that just really didn't happen in a real flesh and blood world. Okay, here's already up to number eight. If you want to preach boring sermons, then think you are above using illustrations or anecdotes. I mean, maybe you're one of those people who think that many preachers use too many illustrations and anecdotes. And that's true, I suppose. I suppose we can find preachers and teachers who use too many. That's out there for sure. But you, if you're really committed to being boring, you need to think that you're above using illustration or anecdotes. So you just refuse to use them. All you're going to do is talk in a very technical, and the more technical, the better, about what the text says. Never pause to give illustration. Never use an anecdote, God forbid, something from your own life. No. If you want to commit yourself to boring Bible teaching or preaching, scrub your message of illustrations and anecdotes. Okay, next we come to number nine. Use only your own stories. Now look, I just told you before that if you're going to be committed to boring preaching and teaching, never use illustrations or anecdotes. But if you do feel like you must, feel like you can only use an illustration story if it's something that happened to you personally. If it didn't happen to you personally, you cannot use it. What this does is this will effectively limit the pool of illustrations and anecdotes that you can use, because the only thing you can use are things that happen to your own life. Now, I do need to make sure here. Obviously, for those people who at least have an interest in holding the attention of their audience, sometimes they will use the stories of other people and say and imply that they're their own stories. Well, that should never happen. Listen, whether you're concerned with being interesting or whether you're trying to be boring in your preaching, we need to be ethical either way. And ethically speaking, we can and we should never take the stories of other people and say or imply that they are your own. So what I've done from time to time is, you know, in hearing many, you know, so much of Pastor Chuck Smith's teaching, he was the pastor of a church in Southern California that's kind of the founder of the movement that I kind of grew up in, not kind of, just in fact grew up in the Christian life, the Calvary Chapel movement. And Pastor Chuck would have some marvelous stories. And his stories were so good that I had to tell them because they were just great stories and great illustrations. But whenever I would tell them, I would say, well, I would never imply that they happened to me. I would say this happened to Pastor Chuck, or I would just an unnamed individual. But it's important that you do that. But again, you don't have to worry about that if you're interested in being boring. Then only use your own stories. Okay, let's go on to number 10. We're already halfway through our list of 20. Speak as if your stories and illustrations are more interesting than the Bible itself, the biblical text itself, I should say. Oh, now this is great. Believe me, this will make people think that you think the Bible's boring. This is how it works. When you're reading the biblical text, you kind of read in a dull and emotionally monotone manner. When you're talking about the biblical text, you talk in a dull and monotone manner. But as soon as you start telling a story about your own life or some kind of illustration, instantly you emotionally pick up. Well, now you're interested. Now you're engaged. Now you're kind of motivated. You got some energy behind you. Now, what you've done when you do that, you've done something really good to make your listeners feel that the Bible itself is boring. Do you see what you've just shown everybody? And again, if you're interested in being a boring Bible preacher or teacher, this is a master stroke. You've told everybody, this book I'm preaching from is boring. When I read it, I'm emotionally monotone. When I talk about it, I'm emotionally monotone. But you know what? My life or the stories I tell, now that's interesting. Oh, this is great. You do that enough over time and it will really cement within everybody's mind the simple idea that you are interesting, but the Bible is boring. And since you're sort of endeavoring to teach from the Bible, they'll know that it's boring. You've told them that ahead of time. So that's a good one. Okay, let's go now to number 11. If you want to be a boring preacher or teacher, then use too many stories and illustrations, losing focus on the Bible text that you're preaching from. Listen, there's some of us that are very good at this, and you boring preachers and teachers, this is good. Now, I'm not saying that you're boring in the sense that people aren't interested, but what they're interested in is your stories and illustrations. And what you do is you use so many of those stories and illustrations that really the Bible becomes an illustration for your stories. I've seen that happen many times. And again, there's no better way to say to your listeners, scream to your listeners, hey, this book is boring, but all my illustrations are anecdotes. That's what's interesting. So again, if you're committed to the idea of boring Bible teaching and preaching, then just use too many stories and illustrations. You and your listeners are going to lose focus on the biblical text, and that'll help things a lot in the quest to be more and more boring. Okay, the next thing we want to take a look at is now number 12. You need to settle with imitating somebody else in preaching style. Now again, those of you who have the goal of being boring Bible teachers and preachers, I need to unpack this just a little bit. What I'm talking about is where you are either consciously or unconsciously, you are imitating somebody else in their preaching style. Maybe there's somebody that you just really have learned a lot from, somebody you respect, somebody that you just think, man, this is a great model. And again, knowingly or unknowingly, you're imitating them. Now, here's the thing. If you want to be boring, then settle with imitating somebody else in preaching style. Now, I think that imitating other people in their preaching is natural. I'm not going to say it's appropriate, but it's just natural. That's how it works. Until we find our own voice in preaching and teaching. Sometimes I think, as I look back on my life in ministry, I think it took me about 10 years of regular preaching and teaching until I really figured out my own voice and then was confident enough in that voice to just say, okay, God can use me. But I never really settled with imitating somebody. Now, if you want to be boring, you better settle. That way, who you really are as a preacher or teacher is never going to come out. You're just going to be copying somebody else. And that is a surefire way to be boring, because you can never imitate somebody else with the same effectiveness that you can just be yourself. You see the difference there? So again, if you want to be a boring preacher or teacher, then you need to settle with imitating someone else in their preaching and teaching style. Which brings us to number 13. If you want to be boring as a Bible preacher or teacher, don't do the long work of learning to be yourself in the pulpit. Now, I understand that's really just the flip side of number 12, but I think it's important, because you need to have the patience and the faith to let your own personality in the pulpit emerge if you have a concern with being interesting and effective. Now, if you want to be boring, which again is the whole goal of this particular teaching, then don't worry about that. Don't do the long work of learning to be yourself. Just try to imitate somebody else and never make it your goal, your aspiration, to gain understanding of your personality in the pulpit. So again, 12 and 13 are just basically flip sides one of the other. So now we come to number 14. If you want to be a boring Bible teacher or preacher, then don't look at the people you're teaching and interact with your listeners. Now, I put on the text there, interact in quotes, because probably most people that I'm speaking, you're not going to be doing a dialogue. A dialogue might be great for a smaller group study. Praise the Lord for that. Dialogue is certainly good for something like a Bible college class. I've taught plenty of those. But in many formats of preaching and teaching, the format just means that the teacher or the preacher speaks, but yet you can still interact with your audience, even if you're not asking them to say anything, because they are saying things to you. If you will look at your listeners, they will show you if they're interested, if they're confused, if they're getting it. Look, if you want to be boring, don't look at the people. Don't make eye contact with them. Don't be concerned about really seeing if they're getting it. You just plow ahead with what you plan to say. And look, the dangerous part about looking at the people and interacting with them, sometimes if you do that, you'll see they're not quite getting it. They don't quite have the attention span for what I prepared for. They're getting tired. They're losing their attention. I got to bring this thing in for a landing quicker than I thought. Now, that's what people who are concerned with remaining interesting are doing. But you want to know how to be a boring Bible teacher, preacher, blind yourself to it. You just plow ahead no matter what. Doesn't matter if people are falling asleep. You're just going to keep going on, and you're not going to read their cues. Don't look at them. Don't look at their eyes. Just look above them, or just look down at your notes the whole time. But again, if, and I don't know why you'd be doing this, you want to be interesting as a Bible preacher. If you wanted to be interesting, make sure that you look at them. Make sure that you interact with your listeners. Okay, next one would be number 15. This is a good one. If you want to be a boring Bible teacher or preacher, then refuse spontaneity. Just refuse it. You have no business being spontaneous up there at all. Do not utter a single word, no matter what goes on in the room around you, unless you've already prepared it. Forget about the idea of the Holy Spirit maybe prompting you to extend a point or shorten another point. Nope, you just plow ahead. Refuse to be spontaneous if you're really committed to being a boring preacher or teacher. Now, I remember a time when I felt that I should be more spontaneous. Again, I know you're not interested in that, but I'll just say just a time when I wanted to be a little less boring. And I really felt that God was guiding me to allow for more spontaneity in my teaching and preaching. What I started doing is deliberately preparing less notes. Just for example, if before my normal preparation would produce 5 pages of notes to bring into the pulpit or the wherever it was I was teaching, I would just start doing 4 pages to deliberately give myself time for spontaneity. Now, I think that that's good and valuable if you feel that that's what the Spirit's, because I've had seasons in my own preaching. I've had seasons where I felt like the Lord was telling me, be more disciplined, and other seasons where the Lord was telling me, be more spontaneous. You know, there's a little bit of a pendulum swing there. But again, that's only if you're interested in being interesting. If you're pursuing the idea of being boring, then absolutely positively refuse spontaneity in the pulpit. Okay, then the next point is number 16. If you want to be a boring preacher or teacher, then do not speak to persuade. No. You would never dream of doing that. That's strictly between the people and Lord. You don't want to push them in either way. You don't want to speak earnestly to the people as if you really want them to change something or do something or believe something or let go of something. No. Get it out of your mind that you're there to persuade people. You're just there to convey some information. So again, that is a big step in being more and more boring in your preaching. Get anything out of your mind that you're trying to calculate to persuade people. Matter of fact, speak offensively about things so that people will write you off and you don't get to really persuade them about anything. But again, don't speak to persuade if you're really committed to boring preaching and teaching. Here's the next one, number 17. We're getting close to the end of our list of 20. Number 17, if you want to be a boring preacher or teacher, then speak too long. Well, this is just great. Speak too long. Wow. I have seen many good sermons turned into boring sermons because the pastor didn't cut out 10 minutes from it. It could have been an interesting sermon, but the pastor rescued it from being interesting to making it boring because he just didn't have any sense of where his hearers were at, where his material was at. He just thought he would wing it for a while. No. If you want to week in, week out, this may be the number one way to be boring week in and week out. Speak too long. I've run across many preachers and teachers. Yeah, they were interesting, but they were rescued from being interesting and they came over to the boring side just because they refused to shorten their message. I kind of believe that there's an informal agreement between the teacher or preacher and the listeners. There's just an informal agreement as to how long the speaker will go. And what you do, you want to have a sense of what that informal agreement is and just go way past it. And just do that. So I think that's a great way to do it. Okay, number 18 on ways to be more boring as a preacher or a teacher, don't get critique from yourself or others. Oh, no way. You don't want that. Why would you want anybody to critique you? You're doing absolutely fine the way you are. Nothing needs to change. You just don't get critique. Don't get feedback. Now, I've heard about some people, for whatever reason, they wanted to be interesting when they preached or taught from the Bible. And they would get some trusted people in the congregation to give them feedback. Or what they would do, and I remember a time in my own life in ministry when I did this, I would just start listening to everything I preached. Now, I did this back in the days before we really used video. Let me tell you, it was hard. It is so hard when you first start doing it to actually listen to yourself preach or teach. First, you can't believe how stupid your voice sounds. You go, do I really sound? Yes, you really sound like that. Just get over it. But then it's painful because you hear this, you go, man, I can do this differently. I can do this differently. I can do this differently. Occasionally say, hey, that was pretty good. Now, it's even more difficult, multiplied so, when you're talking about watching yourself on video, which, of course, we can do easily today. If you are committed to being boring, don't listen to yourself, don't watch yourself, and don't get any critique from other people. No need for that. You're doing fine right now, and you can continue on in your good, boring way. All right, number 19 is kind of related to number 18. Don't be open to some change. Now, I try to be advised in that because there are some people, they want to change everything. They want to be a radically different preacher every week. Well, that's going to cause so many problems that you're likely to be boring as a result of that. But it'll be entertaining for people to see you crash and burn week after week. But if you just have the attitude, hey, I'm doing fine. There's nothing I need to learn. There's nothing I need to change. Man, good. Good on you. You're going to really make some advance on being a better and better boring preacher or teacher. Those who have a concern to be interesting, well, then they'll kind of say, hey, I want to open up to some change. I want to say, maybe I can get better. Maybe I should try this and just see how it works. Maybe they'll do it based on the critique that they could get from other people. But again, if you're serious about being boring, then don't be open to some change. And now already we've come to number 20 on our list. Are you ready for number 20? The last one. Not that we couldn't think of more. I'm sure we could. Number 20 on our list on how to be a boring Bible preacher or teacher, 20 ways. Number 20 is don't enjoy yourself. There is something painfully boring about the person who seems miserable when they preach. But when there's somebody who radiates, there is nothing I would rather be doing right now than talking to people about God and His Word. Well, that's kind of magnetic. That draws other people in. Their interest in the text draws other people into the interest in the text. If you want to be boring, forget about that. Make it seem like you're miserable up there, that you're not enjoying yourself at all. I remember many years ago, I saw a man named Donald Gray Barnhouse preach. Now, Donald Gray Barnhouse was a famous preacher. He was a pastor of a notable church in Philadelphia, a great author. I've got some of his comments. Did I say Donald Gray Barnhouse? I didn't mean Donald Gray Barnhouse. I think I might have been born. Now, I think our lives overlap by some, but I never heard him. I'm talking about James Montgomery Boyce. That was Donald Gray Barnhouse's successor at 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. In any regard, I remember seeing James Montgomery Boyce preaching and being enthralled just kind of by his countenance and his radiance. There was just something in his personality. Look, it wasn't like a glow. It wasn't holy, nothing like that. But you could just tell there was nothing else that he would rather be doing at that moment than talking to people about God and His Word. That was magnetic. It drew me in. But if you're interested in being boring, you do not want that. You do not want to give anybody the impression that you actually enjoy what you're doing. Yes, you hold it as a heavy responsibility, but you enjoy it. Again, that draws people in. So, folks, these are 20 points. I'm sure you can make note of it. We'll put it in the details of this particular video, you know, so you could have them written down in front of you. But if you follow each one of these 20 points, I can almost guarantee you, you will be successful as a boring Bible teacher or preacher, which is not easy. Oh, look, this book, the Bible, it's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It takes quite a bit of skill and work to take God's living and powerful and active and sharp word and present it in a way to make it seem boring. It's a big job, but let's face it, a lot of people are up to that job. Now, if you're one of the strange people out there who think, no, I don't want to be a boring Bible teacher or preacher. I want to be an interesting Bible teacher. I want to draw people in. I want people to really be engaged with the biblical text and think that it's interesting. Well, then you can kind of go through this list of 20 things and just try to do the opposite. Do the opposite of the things I've recommended. And if you do that, you may be on your path to being a more interesting Bible preacher and teacher.